This morning, I'd like to talk to you about a story in the Bible that we all know very well. It's a very familiar passage in the Bible, a very familiar story. This story has been told many times in devotionals, children's stories, and many, many sermons. You probably heard many sermons on this story. It is an inspiring story of courage and trust in God. And we need some of those stories today, amen? Every little guy likes this story because the little guy beats the big guy. And yes, you know the story. This is the story of David and Goliath. There are many wonderful lessons we can learn from this story. One of them is that we learn to trust God in the times of our greatest need and when we face our greatest obstacles, when we face our giants. And we all face giants today. There's a story, and a lot of you Canadians will know, and Americans, what I'm talking about. In February of 1980, the Olympics, United States hockey team, remember that story? It was called the Miracle on Ice. United States team was a very weak team at that time, you know, the hockey team. The USSR team was the giant at those times. If you know hockey a little bit, I've never seen those teams, but my parents used to tell me about those great teams that USSR had, hockey teams in 70s and 80s and stuff like that. They were unbeatable. Just to give you a perspective, before they met in the finals of the Olympics in 1980s, about 3 or 4 weeks prior to that, they had a game between United States and USSR, and USSR beat United States by the score of 12-2. So when they got to the final, it was David against Goliath. It was the big guy against the little guy. But you all know the story. What happened? United States beat USSR by the score of 4-2 and won the gold medal. That was a shock. And the announcer, the guy called Al Michaels, he was the announcer for ABC Sports and shouted, "Do you believe in this miracle?" Because it was really a miracle to beat the giant, which was this hockey team, USSR. Now, as I said, today we face a lot of giants. One of the biggest ones is this health giant we face that it's called what? COVID-19. It disrupted our lives and has caused a lot of harm to many people. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 brought along what I called his cousins, fear, anxiety, and depression. These are the cousins, or you can call them siblings of COVID-19. And these cousins or siblings are proving to be much deadlier than the COVID-19 itself in many, many cases. We're facing a lot of giants today in our lives, and we're facing tough battles against these giants. Amidst all of this, we all face our spiritual giants as well. During these uncertain times, we all try to hold on to our faith and grow in our walk with Jesus Christ. Is it easy to do that when you face so many other battles in your life? It's not easy. It becomes harder and harder because if you're attacked from every side by all of these giants, so to speak, it's becoming much harder to fight your spiritual giant. And this is where a lot of people lose their faith. It's becoming increasingly harder to walk with Christ and hold on to your faith as we're being attacked from every side. And some of you might listen to this today at home or here, and you might just get more desperate and more anxious about the future. But the good news about these giants is that they're all conquerable. Amen? They're not unconquerable. Even COVID-19 is conquerable, which it seems to us right now that this giant is unconquerable, but it is. And I do trust that God will put an end to that very soon. Amen. We all hope and we trust that God knows what he's doing. There is nothing impossible with God, and we can look at David's example. And I want you to open with me 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if you look in chapter 17, I'd like to get you all the way to the end, to verse 45 and 46. This is when David is facing the giant, and this is what he says. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 and 46. Then David said to the Philistine, to Goliath, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you what? In the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And verse 46. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of carcasses of the camp of the Philistine to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." So the giant was conquerable, and David knew even before he faced the giant. He said, "I know that God will deliver me." He wasn't trying to take credit for this victory, but he said, "God will deliver you into my hands." If you fight these giants that we face today courageously, in the name of the Lord, God will give you victory. Amen? God will give you victory if you fight in his name. Now, the Bible says that Goliath was defying and mocking God, and he was making fun of God of heaven, but no one dared to stand up to him. Everyone was doing what? They were hiding until David came. Even his brothers and King Saul was hiding because they were afraid. This is a Philistine, a Gentile mocking openly, and the Bible says he was doing this repeatedly. He was coming out what? Every day, twice a day for 40 days. He was coming in the morning and in the evening, repeating these mocking words about God of heaven. And everybody was doing what? Quietly hiding. Nobody dared to stand up to him. It seems that today, a lot of mocking of Christianity is going on. Do you hear that? A lot of mocking of God is going on in this world. Are we hiding like the Israelites, or are we standing up for what is right? Do we speak up or we hide? You see, every soldier in the Israelite army thought that it was easier to just hide and say nothing. Maybe it will go away. Does it sound familiar? Oh, let's ride the wave. Maybe it will go away. Let's just not say anything. Let's be quiet. And maybe this problem will go away. And we've done as Christians this for quite a while now. And the problem, it's not going away. And I'll mention a few of those sensitive issues that we're facing as Christians. Because we've been quiet for the last 20, 30 years, so to speak, we didn't want to make a big problem out of this. We didn't want to face the backlash from the popular culture of today. So we said, let's just be quiet about this. Maybe it will go away. It is always easier to hide than to face the giant. David faced the one who mocked God of heaven, and he had the victory. The courage and faith of David is something to be admired in this story, and it is a very encouraging for us. But today, I would like to focus on another aspect of this story. As I was reading this story again and again, and I said we've heard it in many sermons, my mind took me somewhere. When I read the Bible, my mind runs in a lot of different directions. Which sermon I can preach from this verse, which sermon I can preach from that verse. And so as I was reading this passage again, my mind went to one thing, and I will approach it from a completely different perspective today. You might have heard it, but you might have not heard it before, and I hope this brings you encouragement today. I want you to go with me to verses 38 and 39. These two verses in 1 Samuel chapter 17 talks about the armor of King Saul. Remember that little episode there? David came, he said, I'll fight. And then Saul says, let me give you my armor, okay? So, verses 38 to 39. And it says this. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. I would like to talk about the armor of King Saul today. But I would like to talk about the armor today, not in terms of its function. We all know its function. What is its function? To protect the person that wears. And you've heard sermons on that, the armor of God and the armor protecting us. And that is a great lesson here. I would like to approach it not from the terms of its function, but in terms of its aspect, its form. Okay, let me explain what I mean by that. And this is where my mind went in a different, completely direction when I read this. The Bible says that David could not walk with Saul's armor. Well, first of all, it wasn't his armor, was it? These armors that were made in the past, if you watch even movies about knights in the Middle Ages, all those armors, they were made specifically to one person, to fit that specific person. If somebody else wears the armor, it would be very uncomfortable, all right? And so each armor was fitted exactly for the person. A wrong-sized armor was more dangerous than not having one because it was uncomfortable, and it actually obstructs you from moving. That's what David said. I can't even walk in this. It's not mine, all right? It is uncomfortable to wear someone else's armor, and it actually becomes a liability in the battle. You can become an easy target for the enemy. If you can't move in the battle, you're dead pretty much before you get into the battle. But this is not the main reason why David said, I don't want the armor. He didn't say, well, it's too big on me. I can't move. It's not my armor. What does David say in verse 39? Why did he take it off? He said, it what? I have not tested it. This caught my attention. That's why I entitled my sermon today, Untested Armor. He said, I did not test this armor. The armor needed to be tested. Now, have you seen tests for something like for airplanes or for even a bulletproof vest? How do you test those? Repeated tests in real life situations, right? Like that object will face in real life. You do it repeatedly to make sure that it performs correctly and then it's pronounced safe when you repeatedly do that action upon that object. You take the airplane for test flights thousands of hours before anybody can get on that airplane. So it has to be tested. Unfortunately, too many of us today, as I was looking at this, try to fight the enemy with untested armor. Too many of us base our faith on the experience of others and do not have their own personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Too many people wear the armor of their parents, so to speak. It's the faith of their parents, and they don't have their own. It wasn't tested by them. It was tested by the parents. It fits the parents, but it doesn't fit you perfectly because you haven't tested in your personal experience with Jesus Christ in real life situations like it should be. So my first look at this, when I looked at it, I said, we must learn from this story to not wear untested armor. We must make sure that we have our own personal relationship with Jesus Christ and base our faith on our relationship with Jesus, not on my parents' relationship with Jesus, not my pastor's relationship with Jesus, not my elders' relationship with Jesus, but my own personal relationship with Christ. Now, when I think of an armor, And as I said, they were making them as a mold, okay, they like a form. And then that's why somebody else had to put it on. That's why the Bible says Saul had to clothe him. So he had to take that piece of armor that comes around here and put it on. So when I think about the armor, I think of a mold or a frame. It seems that when Saul dressed David with his armor, he wanted David to fit the mold, okay? You must fit into this mold, into this pattern. You see where I'm coming from? And so, we read that in verse 33. Go with me to verse 33. It's very interesting here. 1 Samuel 17, verse 33. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a what? A youth, and he is a man of war from his youth." Now, in other words, what Saul is saying here to David, you are not a warrior like Goliath. You're just a young kid. You are not the warrior. But if you still want to fight, Saul says, I will try to do my best to make you look like a warrior. So here, I'll put my armor on you. So that you're more presentable, so you look more like a warrior when you go out there. David, in Saul's mind, did not fit the mold, the pattern of a mighty warrior who could defeat Goliath. He heard that from, you know, David heard this from his brothers as well. If you read in verse 29, his oldest brother, Eliab, tells David when he said, I'll fight the giant. He says, but you're just a shepherd. Go back to your sheep. You're a little young kid, a silly kid. Why are you here? Oh, you just want to see the battle. You are not a warrior. You can't go out there. You don't fit the mold. You don't fit the pattern. He heard that from Goliath as well. When he went to fight Goliath, Goliath looked at him and he said what? You coming to me like I'm a dog. And then he had something interesting at the end. He said, you come to fight me with sticks. In other words, Goliath said, this is not a street fight, okay? You have to have an armor. You have to look like a warrior. We're not going to fight with sticks here. You do not look anything like a warrior. You're just a little kid. You don't fit the mold. So he hears from all of this, critics, from Saul, from his brothers. He hears from Goliath, but he did not care about that. He did not care about the label that he was placed upon, like he did not care the labels that the people placed on him, rather. He just tuned all of those critics and listened only to God. He tuned them out. I think that is a good lesson for us today when you face criticism. How do you face criticism today? When somebody says, you don't fit the mold, you can't do that. You have to be this way in order to do such a thing. We have that in our society as well today. You can't be in this and this position because you don't fit the pattern. You don't fit the framework. How do you tune all those things out? The easiest way is to do like David. Say, I don't care what other people say. The only person I care what they say is God himself. And so tune them out. When you face criticism, tune them out and listen only to God. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever felt that you don't fit the mold? Have you ever felt that in your life? There are some criteria and you don't fit in those. We all felt that way. I grew up at a time when I did not fit the mold. Growing up in Moldova during communism time, we all were forced to fit into the communist mold. Into the pattern, which denied the existence of God and denied, it was anti-religion, anti-God and anti-religion. And we were forced to fit into that mold. I probably speak to some other people that came from a communist background, that grew up in a communist background. We all know that it wasn't a voluntary fitting into the mold. It was a forceful thing. You have to fit the pattern. There is no other way. Communism forced uniformity on people. Do you know the difference between unity and uniformity? Unity allows you to be in a different mold but still get along with other people. So you can fit in this mold or the other, but you still can agree on things and get along. Uniformity says this: if you don't fit the mold, you're out. You understand the difference, right? Uniformity does not allow for a different framework, for a different template. If you're going against the popular template of the day, you will be singled out and dealt with. It seems that we are facing the same problem today, don't we? We all have to face the popular culture of today, and we are required to conform to it. There is not any more we can have different opinions and still agree on that. If you don't conform to this popular culture or idea of today, you will be dealt with. Now, uniformity is helpful to some degree. Let me be very clear. But not forceful uniformity. It has to be a voluntary uniformity where the person uses their freedom to choose whether to conform to a certain standard or not. We do that in the church. There is a lot of uniformity in the church, especially uniformity of behavior. We expect our members to behave certain ways, and that's uniformity. You know, we have uniformity of doctrine. We want people to, you know, when they come to church and when they accept Christ, we talk to them about our fundamental beliefs, and we want them to be uniform all around the world. Unfortunately, it happens that they adjust them, but there is certain uniformity happening in the church, and it's okay, but it's not okay to force that on people. When you force uniformity on people, that is wrong. And the problem that we had in history, and we still have today, and we have to be honest about this, religion has been forceful on people, hasn't it? We can go back to Middle Ages. The church in the Middle Ages, Christian church, forced people to accept the mold. If you don't fit in this mold, you'll be persecuted and even put to death. And so we have to be honest and say that, yes, Christian faith has done that to people sometimes. And so we shouldn't fall into the same patterns today, trying to force religion on others, trying to force our religious views on others. Today, we place people in different molds or different templates. We might label them with different names. We can say there are liberals and conservatives, right? In the United States, Democrats and Republicans. It's a certain template that we label people with. Each template or each mold carries different ideologies with it. When you identify yourself with a certain framework, you identify with the ideologies or practices of that template. And you have to be very careful. Sometimes you say, and when it comes to politics, that's your duty as a citizen of Canada or United States, wherever you are. And you can have different political views. I'm not talking about the political views. I'm talking about the views that affect our biblical principles when it comes to the politics, okay? And so when you fit into those templates, you must be very careful what you label yourself with, because those templates carry some ideologies with them that might go against the Word of God. And so, this is what I want to talk to you about, this very sensitive issue here today. You know, all of these templates, frameworks we talk about, conservative, liberals, progressive, whatever, in politics, these are human-made ones, okay? They're the molds that humans established. They're based on human opinions, policies, and ideas. When it comes to these, we can agree or disagree, and all of us are influenced by our frameworks in one way or the other. Unfortunately, the problem comes today when I see a push to force Christians to fit into some of those molds that go against God's established templates. And let me explain what I mean by that. There are three templates or molds that God established at creation: family, marriage, and the Sabbath. There are three templates. There are three different molds, all right? And as Christians, we need to fit those templates. We need to fit into those. Unfortunately, the popular culture of today is trying to change those templates, and they try to bring some counterfeit templates to all those three that God established at creation. And it was all right when people were saying that I believe in this one, and I practice this or that, but they weren't pushing on me to accept that in there, you know. But lately, it became enforced for us as Christians to accept that as a normal behavior. A counterfeit marriage between a male and female, the God established at creation, male and female, today we're being forced to accept a counterfeit marriage. Also, God said that there will be only a male and female, and today gender is not established by God anymore. You can choose to be whatever gender you want. And it's being pushed very hard, especially right now. In Canada, we've been having that for a while, but especially right now in the United States, if you're watching what's happening in the United States right now, the new administration and all the executive orders that the new president signed, and how many of those deal with transgender issues. You can see that very clearly. On the first day he signed one of those, and you can see the agenda behind that. I'm not going to go more into those things. You can look up yourself, because some of you might think that I'm spreading conspiracy theories here, and I'm not. I'm just looking at what's happening in the world today, and it's troubling to me as a pastor and as a Christian to see those things. The society is trying to put us Christians into a certain mold that they want to force on us. Now, let me be very clear, unless someone misunderstands me on these issues. These are very sensitive issues. So I'm going to tell this to you. God created every one of us with freedom of choice. Amen? And that is the beauty of this, freedom of choice. You can choose your own lifestyle, and that is your decision to make. But please, do not make me or everyone to accept your choice as the right one. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do not ask the church or the Christians who base their principles on the Bible to normalize your behavior. You have the choice to do so. I respect your choice. I do. Whatever choice you make in your lifestyle, I respect your choice, even though I disagree with it. So please, do not take away my freedom to be able to say that I believe you're making the wrong choice. Now I can't even say that anymore. Do not cancel me or my church because I disagree with you about your life choices. Young people know it very well today, this cancel culture. It's the deadliest evil in the world, the cancel culture. If you don't agree with me, we'll cancel you. On social media, we'll take away your livelihood. Everybody will stop buying things from your business. You will be broke. And it's happening a lot these days. Just because I don't agree with you on something, that's just because I don't agree with your life choices, it does not mean that I hate you. I thought I'll hear more amens on that one. Amen. Thank you. Just because I disagree with you, it doesn't mean I hate you. And I think parents will understand that very well in relationship to your children. You want the best for your children. When they mature and become adults, they start making their own choices, and sometimes they make very unfortunate choices. Are you just quiet? No, you tell them you've made a bad choice, a bad life choice, but you still support your children, you still respect their choices, even though you disagree with them, because it hurts you to see the choices that they make. So when I disagree with the popular culture of today on this certain mold that they're trying to force on the church and me as a Christian, I don't hate you personally if you made that lifestyle choice. The problem today with the society is, you want to hear what the problem is? We forgot how to have a proper dialogue. We forgot how to have a proper conversation where we bring arguments and try to reason with each other. We forgot how to do that. It seems that today, if you disagree with someone on some of these sensitive issues, you're out. Since when disagreeing with someone became a punishable offense? But this is the mold, the pattern, the template that the society, the popular culture of today is trying to enforce on the church, is trying to enforce on you. And if you don't fit that mold, you'll be canceled. If you speak against something of these sensitive issues, you'll be canceled. You'll be quieted. You can't speak anymore. You don't have a voice because disagreeing is not popular. You can't tell me. You can't disagree with me. It's my way or the highway. Now, the cancel culture framework sets the stage to what is to come in the future. And listen to this very carefully. This is just sets the stage for what is to come. Remember the three molds? It was what? Family, marriage, and the third one is what? The Sabbath. If they can force on us this right now, it sets the stage to what is coming in regards to the Sabbath. Satan has planned this very well because with this framework, it will be much easier to introduce religious legislations later. This is where we come to the third mold, the Sabbath, when there is a system in place that punishes people for not fitting into the popular mold, then it is much easier to introduce the religious legislations. It's much easier to introduce a false Sabbath, the Sunday, because already there is a system in place that punishes those who don't fit the mold, don't fit the pattern. When it comes to God-established templates at creation, they cannot be disputed. I'm sorry. They cannot be. It is so disappointing to see that today many Christians are falling into this trap of Satan, are trying to fit into this popular cultural mold and try to say, well, maybe it's not that bad if you do this and compromise and this and that. When they do that, it almost looks like David trying to wear Saul's armor. As Saul's armor did not fit David, so these cultural molds do not fit the Christian church. It will be uncomfortable. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit the Bible. No matter how hard it tried to push it on the Bible, on Christians, it does not fit. It will make your lives miserable and uncomfortable, and it will expose you to Satan's attacks, and you'll be an easy target to Satan when you try to fit those molds of the popular culture. The worst thing about this is that these cultural frameworks are being forced on us today, as I said. And I went through a regime, through a system that tried to do that. For 70 years, communism tried to force on us the mold of communism. And it was tough. It was persecution, harsh persecution against the people that stood up against the giant. Now, I disagree, and listen to this carefully, as religious people, as Adventists, as Christians, I disagree with religious legislations being forced on everyone else. I disagree with that. It's not fair. Did you hear what I said? It was tried during the Middle Ages, and it was wrong. We cannot force our faith on others, but on the other hand, I also disagree with secular views being pushed on the church and being forced to accept them as normal. It doesn't work both ways. That is wrong. If we want to coexist, we will have to learn to accept each other without agreeing with each other. But unfortunately, history shows that this is not how things work. When one or the other side comes to power, they will always push their mold on the other side. And that's been in history every time it happens, until the side that is being forced into submission gets tired and then revolts against. Intolerance breeds more intolerance every time. And then it leads to extremism, radical fanaticism, and that's what we see a lot today. So my appeal to you today is this. Don't get stuck in Saul's armor. Even if you try to fit it on, don't get stuck in his armor. In other words, as Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, and I love this verse, he says there, do not conform to the pattern of this world. You hear what he's saying? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. J.B. Phillips' Bible translation says this verse the following, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. That's what I've been trying to tell you. Don't allow the world to squeeze you into their mentality, into their ideology, into their pattern. Make sure that you are renewed by transforming of your mind. David could have been quiet and could have gone into the battle with Saul's armor only because he didn't feel like offending King Saul. After all, King Saul was giving him his armor. He could have been quiet and said, okay, I'll just try to fight even though I can't even walk. I'll just be nice. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to upset King Saul by refusing his generous offer. But he didn't. He was honest. Honesty sometimes will hurt others. But you can't do this to yourself. Because if you go into battle like that unprepared with untested armor, with someone else's armor, with someone else's mold on top of you, you will be defeated. People who crave power want others to conform. The world wants us to conform, and it will push hard for Christians to do so. If you don't agree with their pattern, you'll be censored, canceled, and persecuted. So are we going to conform and just hide, or are we going to fit into God's mold and fight against the pattern of this world? What is it going to be? What is it going to be? It's not popular to fight against the popular culture today. We can just hide like Saul did and the rest of Israelites. Or we can say, I'll take God's armor and go and fight. As believers in Jesus Christ, we're engaged in spiritual warfare with unseen wicked forces every day. To overcome our enemy, we must remain resolute in our confidence in God and determined never to accept defeat. When the world is pushing their pattern on you and you finally said, okay, whatever, I'll accept it, you accepted defeat and Satan got you on his side. A story is told about Korean War. Let me conclude with this story. In the Korean War, as enemy forces advanced, there was a company, it was called Baker Company. They were cut off from all the communication from all the other units. For several hours, no word was heard from them. Finally, a faint signal was received, and straining to hear, the soldier asked, Baker Company, do you read me? And the person on the other side said, yes, we hear you. What's your situation? They were asked. And the sergeant replied of this Baker Company. He said, the enemy is to the east of us. The enemy is to the west of us. The enemy is to the north, and the enemy is to the south. That's a pretty desperate situation. It's just a small little company surrounded by the enemy. But then with determination and a smirk in his voice, he said, the enemy, you know, even though they're all around us, they're not going to get away from us now. Because they're all around, they're not going to get away. Some others might have said, we are doomed because we're surrounded. But this guy had a different view on this. They're on every side. They're not going to get away from us. I like this type of attitude. I like this type of attitude. The enemy is all around us today. We can adopt an attitude of defeat and say, well, we are surrounded, so we might as well give up. Or have the attitude of these soldiers. Well, they're all around us, so they can't get away from us. On that day when David faced Goliath, the Israelite soldiers thought that Goliath was too big to fight him. But you know what David thought? Goliath was too big to miss. Two different perspectives. My brothers and sisters, many of us are wearing an untested and unproven armor today, but praise be to God. He provides a proven and tested armor that we need to wear in order to be able to stand. In Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. And let me read those verses as I close. Finally, my brethren, my sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The only way to stand is to wear the full armor of God. Amen? Why would you want to use another armor that has not been tested? David didn't do that, and he was victorious. And so we can be victorious in our spiritual lives, in our walks with Jesus, if we follow David's example. May God bless you.